Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Well, we had ourselves a wild one here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. Don't say that junior hockey is boring, because it is anything but. And it occurs to me, a week after what we had described as one of the best junior hockey games you will ever see, the Rangers 4-3 overtime win last weekend on Friday night over the London Knights, Kitchener put up some big offense here tonight and skate away with a 9-5 victory. The coaches won't love the five that the Rangers gave up, but certainly the players will be feeling good heading into a big game tomorrow in London after scoring nine. Junior hockey, it is a constant source of entertainment. Let's get you through the scoring summary of this one as Paul Fixter makes his way downstairs for some post-game interviews. Rangers got going early, just 2:35 in. It was Justin Botno with his fifth of the season from Luca Romano, and it was 1-0 for the Rangers. Then Kitchener would earn a Channers power play, and really, it was about that time of the game when every Ranger line had a shift, and every Ranger line had just come out doing the same thing as the previous line. Kitchener was buzzing. They had control offensively, and they were up 1-0 in the game and going on the Channers power play. But the power play was anything but powerful. And while the Firebirds did not score shorthanded, the Rangers generated nothing, and the tide seemed to turn. Nolan Dan, the Cambridge native and overager here with the Firebirds, would score to get Flint on the board. Dan's 25th of the season from Colson Petrie at 8:08 of the first, and it was a 1-1 game. Then Alex Kostoff would score his 11th from Oliver Peer at 11:47 of the first, and the Firebirds had a 2-1 lead. The Rangers would get that back before the end of the period. Luke Ellenis with his 11th of the season from Tanner Lamb at 18:11. It was a beautiful shot by Ellenis. Think of it like a basketball shot that swirls around the entire rim before falling through the net. This puck went post, crossbar, post. Like, it hit every bar. Just an absolute rip from Ellenis. And it was a 2-2 game after one. And then something changed. So was there a stern talking to for the Rangers during the first intermission? Was some paint peeled in the dressing room? I'm not sure. But the Kitchener Rangers came out with a fire in their seats in the second. Just 1:44 in, Edward Chalet would score to make it 3-2 Kitchener, Chalet's 13th from Philip Machar. Then just 51 seconds after that, Luke Ellenis would score his second of the game, 12th of the season. Mitch Martin draws the assist at 2:35 of the second. It was 4-2 Kitchener. A minute 15 after that, it was Matthew Sopp's turn. Sopp's 40th from Matt Andonofsky and Carson Rakoff at 3:50 of the second. It was 5-2 Kitchener. And just a minute and 33 seconds after that, Luke Ellenis would complete the hat trick. His third of the game and 13th of the season from Max Diracolo and Carson Campbell at 5:23. The Rangers scored four goals in the first 5:23 of the second. They were up 6-2. Nolan Dan would get one back for the Firebirds, his second and 26th of the season from Colson Petrie at 7:20. That made it 6-3. And then Trent Swick with his 25th of the season from Matt Sopp and Carson Campbell at 15:08 made it 7-3 for the Rangers. Luca Romano would add one more before the end of the second period. Unassisted, Romano's 7th at 18:17, and the Rangers had a snowman on the board, leading 8-3 after 40 minutes. In the third, the Firebirds would close the gap a little bit further. Nolan Dan's third of the game, the Cambridge native with a hat trick in what is essentially his home OHL rink, Dan's 27th from Colson Petrie again. The goal coming at 3:08 of the third. That made it 8-4. Luca Romano would restore the five-goal cushion for Kitchener. Romano's second of the game and eighth of the season from Justin Botineau and Antonino Pugliese at 4:53 of the third. 9-4 Kitchener. The Firebirds would get one more. Coming on the power play, Connor Clattenburg with his 12th of the season from Roberto Mancini and Nolan Dan, 8:40 of the third with the man advantage. 9-5 the final in this one. Flint goes 1-for-3 on the Channers power play. The Kitchener Rangers go 0-for-1. Just one power play opportunity for Kitchener tonight. But they didn't need the power play. They had plenty of offense, 5-on-5 tonight. And they put up a big number to win their fourth in a row, their 9th in 10, and their 40th of the season. The Firebirds outshoot Kitchener 36-32 in the game. Once again, your final, the Rangers 9, the Firebirds 5. Post-game coverage brought to you by USave Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. You're listening to Kitchener Rangers Hockey on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Well, it is a great time of the OHL season with the playoffs on the horizon, just a couple of weeks away from playoff hockey, and implications abound on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. The Rangers win 9-5 here on home ice over Flint. The top of the Western Conference remains tied points-wise. Both London and Saginaw are big winners tonight. The Knights, a 6-1 win over Sarnia, and Saginaw, a 7-2 win over Kingston. So both London and Saginaw move up to 92 points, but the Saginaw Spirit, Memorial Cup hosts, hang on to first place on percentage points. Meantime, in the East, the Oshawa Generals have wrestled first place away from the Brantford Bulldogs. Oshawa jumped out to a 4-0 first period lead in Brantford. The Bulldogs battled back to make it 4-3, but the Gens get an empty netter and they win it 6-4 in Brantford. Meantime, in Sudbury, the Wolves trailed the Windsor Spitfires 5-2. Sudbury would score 4 unanswered goals to grab the lead, but now, with just over 2 minutes to play, 8-8, Sudbury and Windsor up at the Sudbury Community Arena tonight. Just an incredible score, but that's what you get with Sudbury Wolves hockey this season. So with the win by Oshawa, they jump up to 77 points. Sudbury needs the 2 points tonight to also get to 77, and that would put Sudbury in first place because they would have more wins than the Oshawa Generals. But that's still in doubt up in Sudbury on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. Let's get you downstairs to Paul Fixter in UC Ahokas.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with head coach UC Ahokas. And coach, after a game like that, I'm sure you're real happy with getting 9 goals, but I have to ask you about giving up 5. I know you well enough now. I'm sure you're not real pleased with that.
Well, no. I was thinking, can you be really mad against after winning 9-5? But as a coaching staff, you're not happy. I'm really happy with our third and fourth line. They played really well. Really happy for them. I thought our first line was not good, not even close where they should be at this point, but I hope they show up tomorrow. But yeah, Sopper 1 goal, but still, overall, their game wasn't there. But that huge game from LNS, like, great game, winning battles, and now he got the prize also. He's had a lot of chances, and same like Romano, he's had a lot of chances. But when you do the right things, you drive to the net, you go to the net, stop to the net, and play with good pace, then you get goals, and that's pretty much what happened today. Everything the guys did the things what we want and what a good winning hockey game needs, then we got the prize today.
Is it a good feeling as a coach to know that your top lines can not play to their best and you still put up 9 goals? Says something about the depth scoring on this hockey club.
Well, yeah, I guess now that was good. I really hope that because Romano has been building up the whole year, like going and going and kind of just where he's had chances, and then he all of a sudden, like now he got those two, maybe it opens up a cat, like kind of even gives him more confidence. Same with Ilves, he's been working hard the whole season, and he's a great two-way player, and now last couple games he's been really good. So it's good for the team, and Marty is getting all the time, playing a little bit better every game. So still six games to go till the playoffs. So that a lot of things we have to tune in, but we're going in a good direction.
What was what transpired, or what was said between the first and second period intermission, because the team came out like they were shot out of a cannon?
No, we weren't happy. They knew 2-2 after first, and we knew we weren't even close to where our game should be, and I think they understood that, and they jumped in, and I know it's for a human mind, you lead 8-2, or what was the score, like it's hard to keep playing, and that's why we kind of you a little bit put off the foot off the gas, and that's what happens. Then a little bit mistakes and not a little bit sloppy play, but overall a good win.
Is it tough to keep players focused at this time of year on what's most important, and that's a win for the hockey club versus individual statistics?
Well, yeah, there's some. We talked about that also, like some point. But that what usually happens when you start thinking about the points, you don't get any, and that's actually a good thing. The game is fair, really fair that way. So so maybe for some guys, it's a good learning point again.
Coach, good win tonight. Quick turnaround. Your thoughts on going into London tomorrow?
Well, it'll be a great game. We have to be really ready, ready to defend hard, ready to play with really good pace, and yeah, we have to step up our game because overall, like we're waiting for that game.
Thanks for a few minutes of your time.
All right, thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. UC Ahokas joining us on our post-game show following a 9-5 Ranger victory over Flint. Post-game coverage brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Once the East Avenue Blues step off the ice, it's time to break down the game. This is City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Rangers win at 9-5 over Flint tonight. Paul Fixter is ringside.
Thanks, Mike. It's nice to be joined at ice level by tonight's first star, Luke Galanis. And Luke, how does it feel to get your 11th, 12th, and 13th goal tonight, hat trick?
It feels pretty good. Yeah, especially at home, it was a really nice thing to have.
And in front of family, I understand. How many family members did you have here to witness that?
I think I had 3 or 4 here, so it was pretty special as well.
Luke, I have to ask you, go back in the memory bank, when's the last time you had a hat trick?
Oh, man, it's been a couple of years, so it felt nice to get one again.
Did you go into the season and have personal goals that you had of yourself?
Yeah, I did. It's just, you know, something I like to do just to try and keep myself accountable and, you know, go from there.
Have you thought about the NHL draft as the season has progressed along? Because I'll let you know, you're getting noticed with your play, which has elevated from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, there's some thought about it, but I try and just, you know, just play my game, you know, whatever happens, happens, and go from there. But there's not too much worry or no stress on it. Just play, you know, contribute any way I can to the team and see go from there.
You've been up and down the lineup in different spots, right wing, left wing, center. Do you have a favorite that you like to play?
You know, wherever the coach puts me, I'll take it. So, no, really, I think I like playing all three positions.
After you got your third goal, you had a glorious opportunity for a fourth goal. You made a nice fancy move that didn't quite go in. Then you had a great chance on the penalty kill in the third from Pugliese. Did you have visions of 4 or 5?
You know, when I had the chances, I was for sure thinking of it, but fortunately it didn't go my way, but it is what it is anyways. You know, just go from there.
I have to ask you, today is International Women's Day. Who's the most special woman in your life?
definitely my mom. She does so much for me and really important to me, so it's definitely her.
What has your mom thought of your progress here as a Kitchener Ranger?
I think she's pretty happy with it. You know, coming in this year, we didn't know what to expect, so, you know, she's pretty proud and happy of how everything's turned out.
Does she like it when you score goals instead of get into fights?
Yeah, she likes those quite a bit more.
Thanks, Luke. Congratulations on a great game, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Luke Ellenis, the man of the hour. He has three of the Rangers' nine. It's a 9-5 victory for Kitchener over Flint tonight. Post-game coverage for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
A big win for the Kitchener Rangers on home ice tonight. Their 40th win of the season and their fourth consecutive. Also now winners of 9 of 10 are the Kitchener Rangers. Somebody, too, by the way, is going to win a Rangers Reach mega jackpot of more than $52,000. We will be announcing that prize-winning number at the end of Rangers Talk tonight, just after 11 p.m., so stick with us, and we'll announce the winning number live on the air tonight. Right now, let's look at your three stars from this game following the 9-5 victory for Kitchener. Three stars brought to you by the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. Luca Romano scored twice and had an assist for the Kitchener Rangers, and the rookie, now with 8 goals on the season, is named the third star of this game. Nolan Dan, the Cambridge kid, put on a bit of a show in front of his hometown fans, scored 3, had a helper, and he is named star number 2. And no surprise whatsoever, the young man from whom you just heard, ringside with Paul Fixter, Luke Ellenis, his first career hat trick, and he is the first star of this game here tonight. So your three stars go Ellenis, Dan, and Romano. Three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. Back for some final thoughts with Paul Fixter, then your calls on Rangers Talk. All of it brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
All right, just ahead of the time to open up the phone lines, let me just drop this little nugget on you, Paul Fixter. The Rangers Reach mega jackpot over $52,000. We're going to draw the winning number in just over an hour. And we both have tickets. We bought them ahead of time. It's all above board.
Well, and actually, what I was texting my wife during the game, and I said, hey, it's up to 47. Hey, it's up to 4. And she said, can I still get tickets? I said, yeah. So we have other tickets, too. So either way, it's a great number, and we've contributed, or we're going to have a nice windfall, or both.
Exactly. The contributions have been made. Yep. That's why it's 50 to the winner and 50 back to those community contributions. My beloved has some extra tickets at home, too. Just before we get into Rangers Talk and hear from the fans after this 9-5 Ranger victory here tonight, suffice to say, Paul, this is not the Flint Firebirds team that we thought we were getting tonight.
No, not at all. I was really surprised, Mike, at their lack of defensive zone coverage, quite honestly. Like, the Rangers were left wide open on a lot of their goals, and that's just not what I expected. I will give them credit, though. They seem to find a way to keep that fight in their belly. And I liked what Jussi Ahokas said. He said, you know, when you're up 8-2, it's tough to stay focused. And that's why I asked him the question about, you know, how do you keep a team focused on the W and not their individual stats? And I liked his answer. I agree with him. He says, when you play the right way, those stats will come. And I've been saying that all along. And
you sure have.
And he's right. That is true. But getting back to your question about Flint, very surprised. And I'm sure they're quite disappointed in their effort, in the result, because they played some really good hockey and beat Saginaw and lost to London by 1. So this was a bit of a disappointment for them, I would think.
One of the other things that Rangers head coach Jussi Ahokas said that struck me, and let me spin it and play a bit of a devil's advocate here. He said he loved his third and fourth lines, but the top two lines he needs more from. Good, because they got the night off tonight. They can be ready to go tomorrow in London. How do you like that theory?
Well, no question, Mike, and they weren't effective. And they were still able to get 9 goals. Like, that's what's incredible here. I think that says a lot about the depth of this hockey club and the depth scoring that they have. And, the top guys, other than Sopp, kind of took the night off and were able to. And Brustevich held off.
No points. It's going to make it harder to catch Jason Gladney.
Which is incredible. I mean, that's the good and the bad. The bad is, you know, these guys are trying to break records. The good is, hey, they still put up 9 without the production from those guys.
The Kitchener Rangers have a chance to draw even in the season series with the London Knights tomorrow if they can pick up a victory at Budweiser Gardens. And I can tell you that in the last decade plus, the Kitchener Rangers have not split the season series with the London Knights. Going back to 2012... 2013, there have been 0 splits. No, wait a minute. 2014-15, my apologies. They were 2-1 in London and 1-2 at home. That, my friends, is a split. So there you go. And 2017-18, 2-1 in London and 1-2 at home. So a couple of times they've been able to get that break-even mark in the past decade with the London Knights. They have a chance to do that again tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's very important to the coach. That's why I asked them that last question. I think when London was in here last Friday, that was a big deal for the Rangers. And I know he just said going in there tomorrow is a big deal. So I think it's going to be a whale of a hockey game again against London. And let's see what the result comes. I can't wait to call it, Mike.
Lucky us and lucky you. You can join us on the broadcast tomorrow afternoon. It'll be a 3:30 pregame show. Right now, we go extended on our post-game show here at the Memorial Auditorium following the Rangers' 9-5 win over the Flint Firebirds. And our post-game coverage will include the announcement of that winning $52,100 Rangers Reach 50-50 prize. Phone lines open now. Join the conversation on Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570. That is the Kitchener Rangers goal song, and we heard it go off 9 times tonight. 9. And in so doing, it did not go off for a Carson Rakoff goal. He's been goalless in 2 now since scoring his 50th last Friday night. No, that'll be goalless in 3, won't it? Because he scored he got 2 versus London, 1 then again in that win over Kingston. So that's when he finished it off. No goals Wednesday, no goals tonight. Hunter Brustevich, who's chasing down some Rangers history for points in a season by a defenseman, he was held off the score sheet tonight, but the Rangers still put up 9 in a 9-5 win over the Flint Firebirds. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. We're going to have to put out a challenge to Rangers Nation, Paul, to be the first caller through ahead of our regular first callers through, because our buddies Evan and Cody are waiting on the line already. Let's start with Evan. Hi, Evan. You're on Rangers Talk.
Farwell, Hipster, what's up, guys?
We're doing good, buddy. How are you?
All good.
Pretty good. What a game tonight with Luca Elena getting those. Getting a hat trick, that was amazing. That was his first hat trick of the year, so kudos to him. Overall, the Rangers did play good tonight. The defense was a little sluggish in the first, but you know, like, oh, and I hate to use this segment, but the shots were so low, just take it and go.
All right, Evan. Thanks very much for the call. Our friends at You Save Flooring will appreciate you mimicking their tagline. Let's talk a little bit more, though, Paul, about the five goals allowed. And as UC Ahokas said to you in the postgame, look, when you get up 6-2 and the goals were coming fast and furious, the Rangers just took control of this thing in a big hurry in the second period, getting those four goals in just over 5 minutes to blow it open. But I wonder now, as a coach, how are you going to challenge the team, get the team to focus on the five they allowed over and above the nine they scored?
Well, it'll be heavy video tomorrow, Mike, and they'll show that. They'll talk about it. There were certainly some breakdowns. I thought the first goal Melba could have had.
Yeah, you know, funny, I saw a highlight up here while you were downstairs, and it definitely caught him by surprise.
Yeah. So, and that maybe a little bit of rust, too. Like, you know, he's worked hard at practice and staying focused and being ready when called upon, but it's still not the same as game action. So there's a bit of rust with him maybe because it's been six games since he played. But there'll be a lot of video tomorrow, Mike, and just emphasizing and showing, hey, this isn't the standard that we have to be more focused in the defensive zone and not give up those scoring chances. But I think you take the positive. You know, it's a win, and they put up nine. And I liked, too, that whatever was said and something he acknowledged, the riot act was read between the first and second intermission. The players responded to whatever that message was. Whatever was said, he said the coaching staff wasn't pleased. And no, why would they be? It was a 2-2 game, and there was some sloppy play. So I give the players credit. They responded to that message.
I think you have to give the players credit, too, for not falling into the trap tonight. You're facing a team that, yes, I guess you could say you might face in the first round of the playoffs, because you don't know yet on this side of the league who's going to finish where, 5 through 8. But more than anything, you could be looking ahead to a big game tomorrow against London and focusing on that. And the Rangers found a way to, again, not let this become a trap game for them.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. And I think they are looking forward to tomorrow. That's not what happened here tonight, I don't think. I think, you know, and you've got a player on the opposition scores three goals and has an assist. You know, obviously, they and Petrie had a good game, too. Like, he was in on Dan's goals. So they just didn't have enough other support to go along with that. I think the Rangers, the emphasis will be on focusing on the wins, like the W's, and those are more important than any stats. Hey, great that Matt Sopp got his 40th and the team got its 40th win and all that stuff, but it's about the process, and the process is getting those W's.
You score five in this or any league, you should win the game, and the Firebirds did not do that in this 9-5 loss here in Kitchener tonight. Let's go back to the phones on Rangers Talk. Cody, you're on City News 570.
Hey, Farwell Fixture. Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday,
Thank
Cody.
You.
Oh, man. What can I say? There was a lot happening in this game. Ellenis' hat trick. Sopp scoring his 40th goal of the season, which I may ask. Shout out to the Kitchener kid. But I got to say, I also want to give out one shout out to Tristan Malboff. He did a good job tonight.
Yeah, he was decent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on his game tonight.
What'd you think about on the first goal?
Oh, the first goal. You mean on the Ranger goal or the Flint goal?
No, the Flint goal.
Oh, the Flint goal. That was. I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
Cody, appreciate the call, and we just made reference to that. You know, maybe that was one that caught Malboff a little bit unawares, but, you know, Cody understandably enjoys the Luke Ellenis hat trick, and you said something, Paul, that struck me. Ellenis got three tonight, had a chance for a fourth, and every one of them different.
Yeah, they were all different goals, which is, I should have asked him about that. You know, because his shot on the one was great. The shot on the first goal was unbelievable. Like, it hit every post in the net. The backhand was a nice move, and then his third goal, just a hard shot on net. The importance of hitting the net, you know, because it wasn't a great angle, but it still got up over the glove, and the coach keeps talking about the importance of putting pucks on net, and when it is on net, if at worst you're going to get an offensive zone faceoff, or a rebound or something like that. But when you miss the net, it seems to come around, ricochet out, and it seems to be out of the offensive zone. You don't get that sustained offensive zone play.
That first goal that Elena scored that you talked about, hitting every post, post, crossbar, post, net, like it had everything on it. It was a whale of a release, a real goal scorer's kind of goal. And this is a guy that we've talked about, Paul, getting a lot of attention. We get asked a lot of questions because we see him day in and day out on the ice and off the ice. We know there's a lot of interest in this kid. We know for sure that his name will be called in June at the NHL draft. And think about him now. All this conversation has been around, plays the game the right way, high hockey IQ, good effort, etc. Kid's got his fight card full this year. Can't take any more of those. He plays the game with a little bit of snot, and he showed tonight that, hey, you want to see me score 3 goals in 1 game in 3 different ways? I'll show you that too.
You know, and Mike, now he's up to 13 goals. He's going to be well over 30 points. And, you know, this is his rookie season in essence. That's a point every other game at this point. He's played 62 games. That's impressive. And he kills penalties. He skates. Like when he got on the backhand goal, his second goal, when he got between those two defenders, he just blasted through. He's a heck of a skater, but his hockey IQ for me is really off the charts. He sees the game well, he thinks the game well, and he's a very smart player who has a lot of fun playing. The kid always has a smile on his face.
Yes, he does.
Like, even during the entire interview. Now, he was just first star. Of course, he's going to have a smile on his face. But he never stopped smiling from ear to ear. And how cool was that, that he had, I think he said, 4 or 5 family members here for them to witness a 3-goal performance and a real dominant game. Very deserving of first-star recognition.
Hockey IQ was the first thing that struck me about him, but all of the other elements are coming together for Luke Elenis, who was acquired basically what you'd say almost off the scrap heap from Barrie, a nice off-season acquisition by Rangers general manager Mike McKenzie. Back to the phones. Robbie, you're on City News 570 and Rangers Talk.
Gentlemen, good evening. We're here again. Another great Friday.
We've had a lot of those this season, haven't we?
We have. Just a couple of points. We were talking during the game, and not quite sure. Since Christmas, since the new year, we've had issues with... excuse me. Sorry about that. First periods. Weird first periods. UC's had to light some fires in these between the first and second breaks this season, but he sees whatever he's saying to these guys is certainly waking them up. And for all intents and purposes, LNS has got to get Rookie of the Year. This kid, he's all the young kids. That's the good thing. The point I want to try and make is when the big guys aren't scoring and the big guys seem to have come off the gas a little bit for whatever reason, waiting for the start of the playoffs, etc., etc., the young kids are coming up and they're doing the job for him, which is, to me, it's a plus. It's a bonus. You're not having to rely on your top guys, in inverted commas, every single game for all 60 minutes when you know that some of the younger guys and the newer guys, they want to play. And also, we've started to hit the last 3 or 4 games. They must have been doing some running at walls during practice because we're finally getting a hitting team, and it's kind of looking really, it's looking positive for the playoffs, no matter who we get to play against, because I got a lot more faith in the younger guys, the lower guys, for want of a better phrase, than we did have before Christmas. Since Christmas, they've all kind of pulled their socks up, and everyone's playing together. That's all I got to say. Have a great evening, guys.
Thanks, Robbie. Appreciate the call. You make me think of something Don Cameron always said. When you have a young team, which the Kitchener Rangers do, we've had games this season with injuries and whatnot, with as many as 7 16-year-olds in the lineup. Like, it's just been young kids out there trying to get the job done. Don always said that once the players go home for Christmas and they see their family again and they see their friends and they realize that everything's okay back home, they come back and feel more comfortable in the Ontario Hockey League in the second half. I don't know if that's what's happening. Just quickly on the Luke Ellenis point, I love the kid too. He's not a true rookie, if you will, because he's 18 years old. He did play a handful of games last year. I think you got to give Ryan Rubrik some acknowledgement as a Rookie of the Year candidate. He's got now 23 goals and counting, establishing a new franchise record for the Niagara Ice Dogs, but whatever. We'll see who comes out in the wash as Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, you know, Luke Ellenis moves ahead of Tanner Lamb on this team for rookie scoring with his performance tonight. We've got Romano, who's, you know, emerging, had 2 goals tonight. Cameron Reed, let's not forget about him as a rookie.
Kidding.
And, you know, when you look at the list of rookies that are going to be up for Rookie of the Year, there's some players that'll probably, just based on points and things like that, get acknowledged over Luke. Maybe his age will be held against him too. I don't know. Doesn't matter. All I know is this is a focused kid. I asked him if he had personal goals, and he does, and he reassesses them, and he's achieving those. And I just think the more ice time he gets, the better he's become each and every night. And what's interesting is the team, the coach has put him in all situations. He plays right wing, he plays center, he plays left wing. He's a very versatile player. You know, Robbie mentions about the first periods. I didn't quite, if it's every game he's worried about the first periods or tonight's first period.
He seems to think since Christmas the first periods have not been what they need to be. I haven't noticed it myself.
But he's right. Like, the message that was said between periods was taken to heart.
Yes.
No question about that.
Let me add this. You just got me thinking when you mentioned Cameron Reed and in the rookie conversation. Everybody loves offense, right? You see Luke Ellenis score a hat trick tonight, this and that. Luca Romano, you mentioned him, put up his couple of goals tonight. Tanner Lamb was leading the way offensively for rookies on this team, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have it in front of me, but off the top of my head, and I'll do this in time for tomorrow, so just take it off the top of my head. But I would love to know the Rangers' record with and without Cameron Reed in the lineup. Because when the Rangers had their big slump, losing 8 of 9, how many of those games did Cameron Reed miss? He missed a few earlier when he was at the U-17s. I'll bet you this team's record with Cameron Reed in the lineup is scintillating. Oh. And we overlook that sort of thing, I think.
Oh, no question, Mike. Since he's been back in the lineup, Rangers have only had one loss. One loss since he's been back in the lineup, up in the Sioux. So that's something, and the coaches have acknowledged that. Obviously having him in the lineup, but it puts everybody else in the proper position. And I think playing alongside a veteran like Simon Motu all season long has been a real benefit to his growth and development as a young player in this league. You know, talking about defensemen, Mike, I just wanted to acknowledge real quickly. I thought it was pretty cool that Zane Parekh is only the second draft-eligible defenseman to score 30-plus goals in a season.
In history.
In history.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The other one, John Slaney with the Cornwall Royals.
Absolutely, baby.
Back in 1989, 90.
That's right, yeah.
And he ended up with 38. I just thought that was a pretty neat stat, because I know you love talking about Cornwall, and when I read that today, in the history of the league, only the second defenseman draft eligible to score 30-plus goals.
You mentioned Simon Motu's name, too. I want to give some more treatment to what he's meant to this team this year, but we'll get to that and more. Bill is waiting on the line, and we'll get to your calls, too. There's another line for you if you want to be a part of Rangers Talk tonight. Kitchener 9, the Flint Firebirds 5, as the Rangers win their fourth in a row. Rangers Talk for You Save Flooring continues on City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Say Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Luke Ellenis, his first career hat trick. Nolan Dan had one for the visiting Flint Firebirds as well, but it was a 9-5 Rangers romp here on home ice tonight. 519-570-2545, star 570, 1-800-570-5715. Back to the phones. Bill, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? And Paul? Anyway,
good, thanks, Bill.
The team's really rolling there. It's like watching the Boston Bruins.
Bill, anyway, settle down with this nonsense, would you?
Well, it may be foreshadowed. They haven't beat them yet. But anyway.
Settle down.
I just wanted to give some kudos to Botno. Like, last year I thought, he's got to go, you know. But this guy's a different player this year. Like, he's just been amazing in getting better and better. And that whole line just means so much to this team. When they're going, the team's going, you know, and when the first two lines aren't going, they always seem to be going. But anyway,
they do. They bring high energy, don't they?
Oh, they're amazing to watch. They're really good. And I was wondering, do you drive yourselves to London tomorrow?
I think we'll take the bus tomorrow.
Yeah.
We've done it both ways, but usually we take the bus.
I was going to offer you a ride because I'm going by myself. I got...
Listen, Boston Bruins over there, pick on my Leafs. I'm not getting in a car with you.
Well, that's what I wanted to do all the way to London.
Yeah. So guess what? I'm definitely taking the bus.
You know, one of the things about being around the team and taking the bus and things like that is you can actually learn a lot, and I think you just garner a little bit more, I don't know if respect isn't the right word, but just being around the guys, I think it's important. If we just showed up at the arena for the games, we don't have the same relationship,
yeah.
I think.
I get that. Yeah, but I just thought that most games maybe you drive yourself, but I guess why wouldn't you go on the bus?
Yeah. It's a time when Farwell can get, he's a busy man. He gets a lot of work done on the bus trips.
Oh,
me?
I know, but I was
not
trying,
so much.
I know he's tight, and I was trying to save him some money with gas if he was driving.
Bill, you're a good guy, except for all those picks, those shots you take at my Maple Leafs.
Well, they haven't beat Boston this year, and that might be the first round matchup. So, I'm trying to give you a hug.
Thanks, buddy.
I agree with your assessment of Botno, though.
Yeah, good point.
He's really played well. That line brings energy, and they're just tremendous to watch. And he's a really good skater. He creates an awful lot by getting in on the forecheck and creating turnovers. And
they don't get enough
finds
credit. The first two lines get all the credit, but they don't get enough credit.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I get quite a few texts from different people I know, and they seem to talk about that line an awful lot. Offensively, we look at the other lines a little bit more for sure, but I think people acknowledge what that line of Mercer, Pugliese, and Bono mean, and now Romano's in that Mercer spot.
This coach is great. Like, he plays those kids in any situation, and that's just so much going forward. You know, they have so much confidence. Because he gives them confidence. You don't see other teams playing rookies like he does.
Well, sometimes he doesn't have a lot of choice. He's got a lot of rookies on the team.
Yeah, but, you know, like, but all year since he's been here, he's done that.
Yeah,
roll the four lines, point. And that's the way it is.
Yep.
But anyway, you have a good trip tomorrow, and I guess I'll have to go by myself.
Well, that's by the sounds of you, that's where you belong.
Well, thanks.
I just giving you a hard time, Bill. Appreciate the call tonight. Thank you.
Don't worry, Mike. You wait until the Leafs start playing the playoffs. I'll be calling more.
All right. We'll wait for it. Appreciate that. Nice to hear from you tonight. Let's just touch a little bit more on with Botno, Pugliese, and Mercer. Mercer, who we saw in a very dapper suit, I might add, up here near our booth tonight. But what a find that has been as a line combination for this hockey club.
Oh, they've been tremendous, and, you know, they've been slotted, we say, in that fourth line position, but they're much more to this club than a fourth line. There's a lot of fourth lines in this league that don't see anywhere near the amount of ice time that this line does. They're just so effective. They all skate really well, so they get in on the forecheck. They like to take the body. They play a physical game for sure, and, you know, they all have good shots. Like, Pugliese, we've seen his shot. Well, he had a four-goal game earlier this season. Botno demonstrated his tonight. And Mercer is tricky. He's a slick offensive player as well. It's just they're behind some pretty high-end offensive juggernauts, so they don't just get the amount of opportunities maybe that, you know, they might on a less skilled team.
I stand to be corrected, but the quick numbers I ran makes it look to me like the Rangers with Cameron Reed are 32-11. Without him, they're 8-9. So do you think the kid makes a difference on the blue line?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question about it.
9-5, the Rangers win it here tonight over Flint. Back to the phones on Rangers Talk. Eddie, you're on City News 570.
Hello, Mike.
Edward.
You know what? Just to go back to what the last caller said, I'm not a fan of either team, but you have lost 7 straight to the Bruins and got walked.
Holy cow. What is this? This is Rangers Talk. Kitchener is on a 4-game heater, and y'all want to come at me about the Maple Leafs. Is that how this is going to be?
Hey, call Jim Taddy and whoever. Exactly. Don't call Fixter and Farwell.
Right? Come on. Like, this is not what I stay up late for on Friday nights.
All right.
I've been on the air for 24 hours straight.
Back to the game at hand.
Okay.
Hey, offense firing on all cylinders. Elnis looking good. Defensively leaves a bit to be desired, but talking about Reed, I will say, people don't notice how good he is, I feel like, because he's not exactly like a point producer, but, man, he is incredible. And, I mean, hey, anybody who watches, you know, how he plays defensively knows that he has been a big part of this team. For months now, I've had buddies telling me, like, yeah, this guy's for real.
He's going to be a first rounder next year, Paul. We've talked about this before.
He's a first rounder all day long, yep. No question. And he could be a high first rounder if he continues to progress at the rate that he has this season.
Yeah, it's
Eddie. Are you going to eat chicken tomorrow? No.
What do you mean? They scored 5 goals. You get free.
That's one of your freebies.
Yeah, but it's a freebie if you sit in one of the 5 sections out of, like, 30 they have in this arena.
No wonder you're so fired up about not enough free stuff, eh?
Well, you know what? When everybody else seems to be getting a lot more, you know, it does leave a little to be desired, but we don't got to get back into that again.
Okay.
I do want to add, though, you guys mentioned banners. I was not talking about banners. Banners are exclusive. We don't hand out banners here like participation trophies. I'll tell you that.
Okay, hang on. You mean we were talking about not having more numbers up in the rafters here and what the rationale is for getting one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. You don't want it to be, and Paul talked about this, you know, the NHL Hall of Fame has kind of become the Hall of Greatness as opposed to the Hall of Fame, but I don't know. I think Kitchener could have a few more up here, but what do I care?
Here's the thing is, a lot of teams don't get it right. A lot of teams start retiring numbers and they keep doing it. Or keep honoring numbers to the point where it's like, really, this guy got it? Like, should he really be up there? So I'd rather keep it very exclusive as opposed to watered down.
Yeah, I'll give you that for sure.
Fair point.
But, no, this team's on a roll. I mean, people were panicking. And, I mean, I'm not going to say that people panicking wasn't justified when they were in that little tough stretch. But I think people's nerves have been soothed a little. And I just hope they can, you know, put a good effort in up in London tomorrow, because that'd be nice.
It would indeed. Eddie, appreciate the call as always. Nice to hear from you. That rough patch without Cameron Reed, the Rangers were 3-8. So 3 wins in 11 games without that defenseman. And just to go back to talking more, because I wanted to mention him about defense. I mentioned Simon Motu's name a moment ago, and I wanted to come back to it. We saw him block a shot tonight. It wasn't so much a block shot as it was deflected into him, but up around the neck or chin area. I still think he deserves an assist. Like, if the official scorers are listening, look back at that. I'm pretty sure it bounces off of Motu's body and then up to Martin into Elenis and scores. But nonetheless, that play tonight where he guts it out, stays out there, Wednesday night in Owen Sound, I'm pretty sure he was still laboring a little bit when he got back on the bus. This guy just gives you everything and then some. He'll block shots. He'll play big minutes. He'll be a leader. And I think he's an unsung hero on the Rangers' blue line this year.
Oh, he is, Mike. And, you know, he plays secondary power play. He's a great penalty killer. He's a great leader. And he's a tremendous mentor for young Cameron Reed that we've talked about extensively. And he's a pleasure to be around. He's always got a smile on his face. He always has a chirp or something to say. He just is a real good human being to be around and fun. And he's always chirping us on the bus, and you know, he involves everybody, and he's a treat.
Yep, he really is. When he's involving the old guys like us, you know, he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders and a pretty good heart inside somewhere. Let's go to Stephen next on Rangers Talk. Stephen, good evening, sir.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
We're great, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, oh, pretty good. Well, I was going to say about 9 to 5, there was a little petite lady with a pair of big, you know, that saying working 9 to 5, so...
Jumping Jiminy, Stephen. Is that where we're going to go? Are you kidding me right now? Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. That's a, for all you kids out there, that's a Dolly Parton reference.
Yeah, Dolly, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, anyhow, I mean, just couldn't resist 9 to 5. No. yeah. Well, I mean, first period, definitely. I mean, started good and then, you know, tailed off. And second period, wow. I mean, I think when this team has the net drive and the offense and they pour it on, like, to me, seem like an own sound. That's kind of like what they did most of the game, right? So once they do that, they're pretty tough to contain, you know, because one good thing is that you're not focusing on one line, maybe two lines. You're getting contributions throughout the lineup, and that's basically what you need, especially tomorrow night and, you know, deeper into the season and the playoffs.
Just a reminder, tomorrow it's afternoon, 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock puck drop. But, Paul, you noted this on Wednesday night. Steven's talking about these net drives. The Rangers were able to come through the neutral zone with speed on Wednesday. But here again tonight, for sure, they're going to the net. They're getting rewarded for it.
Yeah, the coach has really been emphasizing about going to the net. And I think when you look at the two games, Wednesday and tonight, completely different games. Kitchener dominated Wednesday from start to finish. Owen Sound was really ineffective. They didn't show up in that game, and that's why Kitchener dominated that game. Kitchener dominated tonight on the scoreboard, obviously putting up 9, but Flint gave them a bit of pushback, which Owen Sound gave them no pushback at all. And it's crazy that we can say that Flint had a bit of pushback or a bit of, you know, they were involved to some extent. When you give up 9 goals, you think you've complete, but they also scored 5. Like, it's just one of those games where I have to give Flint a little bit of credit because they actually didn't play too poorly at times. And then other times, there was absolutely zero, like that shift in the second period when Kitchener, or was it the first period? Kitchener just completely...
That was the first period.
First period. They must have spent 2.5 minutes in the zone doing whatever they wanted. So, anyways, two different games, two great outcomes.
Yeah, for sure. What else you feeling, Steven?
Yeah, no doubt. Flint, okay. I'm not going to point the finger at goaltending, but definitely that doesn't help. But, that's definitely what we need to do. I mean, your top line's not going to be your top line every night. As for playoffs, well... No, I'm thinking who's kind of pick your poison. Would we like Guelph? Probably. Owen Sound? I mean, not a bad idea. I mean, they're basically, I mean, you look at their stats, almost like a 1-9 team, right? You shut them down and you pretty well, you know, scoring will disappear. I kind of think, I don't know about you guys, I think Erie, I would really not want to face Erie. Because with Stan Bowler, and if, you know, Benjamin Gaudreau back there gets hot, it'd make things a little difficult. But anyway.
Yeah, but Carter George can get hot, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's good goaltending in this league.
Yeah, but, you know, for sure tomorrow, they can keep the net drive going. And, again, with a team like London, no room for errors. So, you'd be doing what you did tonight in the defensive zone and, of course, stay out of the box. And anyhow, take care, guys. Have a good trip, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate
I think
the call.
Tomorrow's going to be a physical game, Mike.
And the Rangers, and I think it was Billy that said this earlier, when he called earlier and said that he has noticed a physicality from the Rangers. They came out, and that's what was so great about last Friday's game. It didn't get goofy like that game in London where it wasn't so much physical as it was dumb. It's almost like who's tougher and who's going to get more punches landed.
It was like a street fight.
Right, kind of. But play a heavy game, and London's fine playing a heavy game, and the Rangers matched them not only physically but with intensity, and I hope we're in for something similar.
I do believe there's going to be a physical presence, and so we talk about getting to the blue paint. It won't be easy. It was pretty easy tonight for Kitchener to get to the blue paint. There wasn't a whole lot of defending from Flint's perspective. I think London, it'll be difficult. They won't make it easy for Kitchener to want to get into that blue paint area.
For sure. Rangers win at 9-5 over Flint tonight here at the Memorial Auditorium. We take a quick break. Come back with more Rangers talk. Stay with us on City News 570. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now. 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Luke Ellenis pots his first career hat trick. The Rangers score 6 in the second period, and they run over the Flint Firebirds 9-5 here at the Memorial Auditorium. 519-570-2545, *570, 1-800-570-5715. Phil, you're on Rangers Talk.
Good evening. Yeah, there were four other people on the ice in front of me at the odd tonight that need some recognition, and that's the Stripes. I thought they did a fantastic job tonight.
Yeah, Darcy Burchill and Lacey Senek were wearing the orange armbands. Adam Harris, Brian Burkhoff, the lineys. We liked what Adam Harris did, Paul, when he picked up a stick that had been dropped out there. Get that stuff out of the way.
I believe in that, and especially that one. That was dangerous right at center ice. You know, you make a good point, Phil, about the officials. We're really quick to point the fingers when we don't like something, but I will say this. The NHL had Greg Dvorsky in attendance tonight, and he's a real good supervisor of officials. You know, maybe there was something said from Greg that we got this performance from the officials. Who knows? They've got real good supervisors, and these officials are well coached, just like the players are.
Yeah, it's not beneath them to get them go pick up a stick off the ice to prevent an injury. I give them credit for that.
Yeah, Paul and I have just been frustrated. We don't see it happening often enough anymore. It seems to be something that we recall happening frequently, almost all the time, but we get, you know, neck guards and all kinds of things lying on the ice and that just don't get picked up. Sometimes the sticks end up getting in the way of the play or players trip over them, and it's a strange thing just to leave lying out there, but oh well. You're right, though, about the officiating tonight. It certainly was one of those games where they just let the teams play, but I'm sure Kitchener's also not thrilled only getting one power play opportunity.
Yeah, right, true. Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice not hearing the crowd chant derogatory comments at a ref for a change.
Sure.
And the other thing that we could have lived without tonight is the wave. And I know, Mike, how much you despise that.
Can't stand it.
Everybody's too comfortable with the lead. And then I find sometimes that jinxes the score.
Well, it was tough to jinx this one tonight. They only started, I think, at 9-4. So
the wave must be around, it must be 40 years, eh?
Well, probably. Yeah.
It's incredible that
I remember being a kid coming to games here, and I was the one that wanted to get the wave started. So I have changed over the years. I'm with you, Phil. You know me well, because I think it's the ultimate sign of a bored fan base.
Yeah, I think it started with the Seattle Mariners Baseball Club way back. Yeah. So, anyway. You know if you actually want to watch the game, and every 25 seconds, you've got somebody in front of you standing up, you can't see the play. That's what drives me nuts, because I'm not one to participate in the wave when I'm a spectator at any event.
Times.
Yeah, that's about 5 times too many for my liking.
Yeah. Well, I hope the fellas have enough gas left in the tank for tomorrow, because they're going to need it.
Yeah, it's a big one tomorrow for sure.
Well, the good thing about a 9-5 win tonight is the coach was able to roll the lines, get everybody involved, and not expend, you know, overexpend energy on any of the lines. And I think that's a real good thing going into tomorrow's game, that when you had a big lead like that, you just basically stay out of the way and open the door and let the guys go play.
What concerned me is when Philip Massar went off the ice holding his face.
I'm going to miss that happening.
He didn't come back on.
Yeah, he had a pretty strong game tonight.
Yeah, he had a stick or something in the face and just skated right to the bench after he dropped his stick.
Yeah, his game has really evolved, and he's really playing well, and his skating ability is just incredible.
I also had the parents of Dan sitting beside me from the Flint Firebirds.
Oh, they must have had an enjoyable night. He's a Cambridge boy. He put a hat trick up for mom and dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And an assist.
Yeah.
And I think he came up through the league or playing hockey with SOP, so that explains a lot.
Yep. That's right. That's right. He did.
I'm not sure if the mom said they were chums or something, so.
Okay, yeah, these
well,
kids.
We'll be listening to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate that. Again, it's a 3:30 pregame from Budweiser Gardens. Rangers and Knights get face-off at 4. I'll just go back to another Don Cameron lament when, you know, Phil talks about Sop and Dan being chums growing up. Don always said that's why rivalries have disappeared from this game to a certain degree, because all these kids have played with one another before and they're able to stay in touch with each other better than ever before. So it's a text before the game, hey, we're playing you, but it's not because we're going to, you know, beat the snot out of you tonight. It's because, you know, I'm going to get to play against my old buddy in the Ontario Hockey League. Now, it's changed a little bit over time.
I know you have to evolve with the time of life that we're in and how things change, but when I was coaching, well, I didn't allow any players to talk to one another before the game. After the game, you want to talk, but now you see guys talking and hugging, and you know, and that's just the evolution of the game and the society that we're in now. But I just don't like it. I just don't like.
Yeah, you want to have a little bit of like at least a distaste for the opponent, right?
Well, yeah, like. Sort of like the Brady and Matthew Tkachuk in their mother's car when they're fighting in the car.
Sure.
They're brothers on opposite teams. I mean, that's what you want. I know, like, the Primo brothers used to love to play against one another, combat. They fought, actually, years ago. So but things change and things evolve, and, you know, with phones and keeping in touch with your buddies. But what I never had any buddies on the other team until after the game.
Right.
You know, that's... But that's also my era.
And it was a different one. And listen, it's still a great game, and we got a big rivalry tomorrow. You mentioned, Paul, how the Rangers were able to roll 4 lines tonight, so you'll be as fresh as you can be for your third game of the week tomorrow. And the London Knights have played an identical schedule. They were on the road Wednesday in Guelph while Kitchener was up in Owen Sound. Knights were at home tonight while the Rangers were at home. We'll travel to London tomorrow to take on the Knights.
And travel's a non-factor.
In that, it's short trip both ways.
Yeah,
right?
Especially with Moose behind the wheel. He makes it even shorter.
He certainly does that. Rangers win it 9-5 here on home ice tonight over the Flint Firebirds. It was a wild one on our Leibold Electric out of town scoreboard. We'll get to that and continue the conversation with you on Rangers Talk. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, the Rangers blew this one open in the second period tonight, scoring 6 times and taking a 2-2 game to an 8-3 advantage after 40 minutes, then cruising to a 9-5 win over the Flint Firebirds. Rangers win the season series over Flint 3-1. They pick up their 40th victory of the season overall. They've won 4 in a row and 9 out of 10. Matt Sopp scores his 40th goal of the season in this win tonight, and Luke Ellenis picks up his first career hat trick. How's that for a not too bad Friday night on East Avenue?
And you get
Free chicken.
Free chicken. You score five, you get free chicken, free but only chicken. In the certain sections, and Eddie's still upset about not getting more freebies. We've upset Greg a little bit, too, who sends an email to Mike at 570news.com. Here the Kitchener Rangers are calling this year New Wave, and you're hating on the wave? Give it up. The fans loved it. You guys are jaded. Greg, listen, I'm not hating on the wave just tonight. I'm hating on the wave, period. I think it's ridiculous. I think it shows that the fans are bored out of their skulls. And I don't know. I think it's goofy. But our producer, Adam Sanderson, says, according to Wikipedia, McNichol Arena in Colorado, a Rockies-Canadians game back in 1979, some guy named Crazy George Henderson got the wave started.
Yeah, interesting. Well, having worked in McNichol's Arena, it's a complete circle. So it actually makes sense. That building is a complete circle. So it was continuous, would be easy. And it was two levels. There was a lower bowl and an upper bowl. And I'm sure I actually saw the wave in there when we won the Stanley Cup in 96. I mean, of course, it was a big thing back then. And, you know, with a complete circle like that and two bowls, it was easy. There was no corners where it had to pick up again or whatever. It was a perfect circular wave.
Fans, if it fills your heart with joy, then you keep doing it. But I'm not going to like it, and you can't make me like it, even though I was the kid trying to get it started in this building a way back when. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. If you want to be a part of Rangers Talk tonight, don't forget that in the next 10 minutes, we will be drawing the winning number from that Rangers Reach mega jackpot tonight, a $52,100 prize. And Executive Director of Rangers Reach, Craig Campbell, will be joining us here to make that draw live. Paul, on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard tonight, one a night. London and Saginaw both win handily, so they stay Saginaw 1, London 2. 92 points apiece, but the Spirit get the advantage of being listed in the first place position. The East, though, my goodness, Oshawa jumps out to a 4-0 lead on Brantford. The Bulldogs come back to make it 4-3, and then Oshawa would need an empty netter to finish it off 6-4. And then in Sudbury, the Windsor Spitfires get out to a 5-2 lead. Sudbury scores 4 unanswered to take a 6-5 lead, and that goes back and forth before Sudbury ultimately wins 9-8 in overtime. The Windsor Spitfire scored 8 against you. But the way this shakes down, if I'm not mistaken, the Sudbury Wolves now claim first place in the Eastern Conference. Well, they've got Oshawa listed in there in first. So, well, they haven't updated Sudbury's score yet. There's no way they have because, yeah, it went to overtime. So the app is a little bit behind. Because I know I looked at the standings earlier, and this should propel the Sudbury Wolves from, 75 points to 77. So they're ahead of Oshawa also at 77 points.
Yeah.
But Sudbury has one extra win. So not a regulation win anyway.
And one less game played.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tight.
It is tight. But let's just for a second. Everybody's excited about the Sudbury Wolves this year, certainly in Sudbury. It's been half a century, and it's just not been championship hockey up there. This Wolves team, though, they're going to have to figure. If you're giving up 8 to the Windsor Spitfires, I don't think that's a winning recipe in the playoffs.
No, it's still not going to be championship hockey if you're getting into 9-8 shootouts, like back and forth. Track me. You need to button. We're talking about a team here in Kitchener that gave up 5 tonight, and that's not acceptable. 8? How is 8 acceptable, you know, when you're trying to win a championship? So I know Kitchener will deal with it. Parsons will be back in net tomorrow, and they'll deal with, some of the defensive breakdowns that they had tonight. But to give up 8 against a last-place club, and you're thinking championship, boy, you got some work cut out for you, boys.
How impressed are you with the Oshawa Generals? With their victory tonight, that now makes it 6 in a row for the Generals.
Well, there were coaches, when I do the Across the Hall segment, there were coaches that have said to me that they thought Oshawa was the best team on the eastern side. I know they're well coached with Derek Laxtal. We had a great game in there on New Year's Day.
Did we ever?
They're a good hockey club, and they will be prepared and ready. So I can understand why these coaches on the eastern side were acknowledging how impressive Oshawa is. And, you know, now six in a row, Mike, they seem to be peaking at the right time as well.
2 weeks tonight, the Oshawa Generals will be here in this building. That's going to be a great hockey game as the Rangers head to London tomorrow. And then they face Owen Sound in Guelph, home to Oshawa, and on the road in Erie. Just before we get, because Craig Campbell, the executive director of Rangers Reach, just popped into the booth. So we're about to do that draw of the winning $52,100 ticket. Steven brought it up earlier. 5 through 8 in this Western Conference, Paul, really is still wide open. Guelph lost tonight. Owen Sound and Erie were not playing. Flint obviously loses a chance to gain some ground, but the Kitchener Rangers could still face any of either Guelph, Erie, Owen Sound, or Flint in the first round.
And I seem to be getting asked, who do you want to face? Who do you want to face?
I was just about to ask.
Yeah, well, from a selfish standpoint, I want to face Guelph just because it's an easy
20-minute commute. Yeah, Let's do it.
Yeah. Easy trip. I don't know, but I keep saying, you know, better watch what you wish for, because sometimes that can bite you in the behind. I don't know, Mike. I don't know who it's going to be. It's just Owen Sound was horrible the other night. Flint, you know, I don't know. If I had my choice, I'd like to play Guelph, yes.
And I'm not opposed to that idea, particularly for the travel in round number one. Guelph, with their loss 3-1 tonight in Sault Ste. Marie, has played 60 games and has 62 points. Erie is 1 point back, same number of games played. The Owen Sound Attacks sit on 60 points. They've played 61 games, and this was Flint's 61st game tonight. They had a chance to catch up to Owen Sound, but they failed to do so. They remain on 58.
And they have to go home and play at home tomorrow, looking for that win to try and win at home, which we know they haven't done. They've only done it 9 times this year. That to me is still an odd stat, that a team can't win at home at all. So it's tight, it's fun, and for the fans in these different cities, what a great way to end the season.
It seems to me like, the older I get, the worse my memory seems to be, but it strikes me that we are seeing more parity in this league than we have in a long time.
Well, that extra point that you get for overtime and shootout, that has really changed the landscape of the standings. We see it in the National League, and it's the same here. When you get that extra point there, Mike, it really changes and makes everything a little bit closer.
While we're daydreaming just a little bit here and thinking ahead to 3 weeks from now when the playoffs open up, we know the Rangers are going to open on home ice. And look, whether it's Guelph, Owen Sound, Erie, or Flint, I think what we're seeing from this Ranger team and what we have seen consistently all season long is that they absolutely belong where they are in the top tier, the top four of this Western Conference and the Ontario Hockey League. They should be able to get through the first round. And just watching the way things have gone for the Rangers after that slump, Cameron Reed was out for most of it, but they've turned it back around. They're getting rolling in the right direction. You look at them tonight, they're just playing with so much confidence. I think that if they get through a first round, the confidence starts to build. They become a very dangerous opponent deeper into the playoffs.
No question about that, Mike. And they believe in themselves. And that's a dangerous thing for the opposition when you've got a group of young players that are truly tight as a group and strongly believe that they are the best and they can go win a championship this year. It's incredible how tight this group is, and we know the skill set they have. If they get the defensive, we've talked about it, defense wins champions. If they get the defensive play that they need, they're forced to be reckoned with for sure.
As somebody said when they came into the media room tonight, I thought this was a rebuilding year. The Kitchener Rangers have made it look anything but.
Oh, yeah. No, they. If it's a rebuilding year, they've certainly built fast.
Let's talk about one more thing just as we're into the final minute or so of ticket. So what's the jackpot at right now? I was saying 52,000, but now we're over 53,300 for the Rangers Reach Mega Jackpot. We're going to do that draw live on the air in just over 60 seconds from now. The fix was in for City Cabs on the Rangers scoring four or more tonight. It was in on the Rangers getting a power play goal. They only had one opportunity. They went 0-for, so that didn't work out for you. And Edward Chalet, a multi-point night. The fix was out on that, so you nailed that. But Chalet did score a goal again tonight, Paul, and he was on the ice for that extended shift that the Rangers had the Firebirds hemmed into their zone. It seems to me that he's starting to find his groove here with the Rangers.
Back-to-back games where he scored a goal. He's getting some good chances. He's getting... And I said this at the onset, he plays with a great centerman. So if those two can find a chemistry together, they will be effective because they are high-skilled players. And, you know, he seems to be going into the dangerous area, the high-risk areas, the blue paint areas, where you're going to take a bit of a beating. He seems to be more willing to go into that area. So whatever the coaches are doing, showing him videotape, I'm assuming, it's starting to resonate with him.
That's a couple of first-rounders on that same line, right? Yep. Philip Machar to the Montreal Canadiens and Edward Chalet to the Seattle Kraken. Carson Rakoff, a 50-goal man, but now he's been quiet for the past two, sitting on 50. He's a second-rounder, of course, to Seattle. And we should mention Hunter Brustevich again because he's chasing a little bit of history here with the Rangers down the stretch. Six games to go. He's 6 points away from tying Jason Gladney for most points in a single season by a defenseman.
I think he's going to get there.
I think he will, too.
Even with being held off tonight, he's just such a dynamic player, and I think he's going to get there, Mike. So, you know, it's been fun to watch him, you know, just grow and progress and become a real offensive dynamo.
All right, Craig Campbell, the executive director of Rangers Reach. I already turned it on for you, buddy. He's awesome. In the booth with us, and you've just pressed the magic button here.
Oh, I haven't pressed the magic button yet. I thought we closed the sales.
Okay, sales are closed. Yep.
The final tally, someone is going to go home with $53,330.
Can it
tonight.
Be me, please?
Well, so you complain a lot about how much money you've spent over the years, and I can appreciate that, but our community appreciates the money that you spend. So what I thought we would do is we have to start with the consolation prize.
Absolutely.
That one happens first. So yep. We have a $500 WestJet gift card.
I'll take it.
So what we're going to do here is... I'm going to get my right hand that's out in the hallway there to come in, and she is going to go through the process to click, and she's going to select the winner for the WestJet gift card, $500 WestJet gift card.
All right.
Coming up, and we're going to queue up the jackpot here, Mike, and we're gonna let you select the random number by just... clicking the mouse there on the box.
All right, I can do this. So select
yeah,
random
select
ticket.
Random ticket.
It's on the way.
It's going. So while that's running through, I'm going to close this off so we can get those numbers for you.
That's a lot of tickets to go through. 53,300 plus. Okay.
Yeah, so for the WestJet gift card, 610-2767. 610-2767. And that ticket was sold in-house. In-house here.
I bought both of my sets. 610. I have a 610.
2767.
610-2767. Not one of my tickets, but that is the winner of the $500 WestJet gift card.
So, and then when we go up to the grand prize.
I would just like the winner to know that I did press the button for this. So
you did. Do you want to read the number too?
Totes for the crew. No, I want you to read the number, Craig.
The winning number for $53,330 on this year's 2024 Rangers Reach Mega Jackpot. 543-3913. You're going home with over $53,000 tax-free from Rangers Reach. Thank you. It is unbelievable. This event has worked for us. We beat last year's number. We are certainly excited for it. And I can tell you, I don't think Josh Brown won.
Yeah, he's packing up. He's like, why did I stay late for this nonsense? He's out of here. Across the booth from us up here on Press Row.
This is going to go miles to help us with all the community work we're doing in supporting organizations like Kids Ability, Kitchener Minor Hockey, Waterloo Girls Minor Hockey, Kitchener Minor Hockey, Lady Rangers programs, the Air Rockets Girls Hockey. I could go on and on. And local grassroots, the Stanley Park Community Association, Kitchener Sports Association. There's just so many, and we want to expand that. And what we're doing here with 50-50 and our jersey raffle and our fundraising, our fan support is second to none. We had our supplier was here tonight. They felt it was important to be on site while we're running this major event, and they're taking information away from what we're doing so that they can go back to their other partners in sports and other places and say, hey, we've got a winner here in Kitchener on how they do things, and this is what we can do for you, and we can lean on their knowledge. And that's the ultimate compliment to me, is when they're coming in here and telling me they're taking information out of here to help other people. I think, you know, it leans into what the philosophy in all the years I've been involved with the hockey club, and now into the fifth year with the community fund. I can't believe how far time flies. But we really are big on R&D, research and duplicate. We don't invent all these things. We just see them other places, refine them, and make them ours, and make it work. And that's what Mega Jackpot came from, and all sorts of other stuff. So we're grateful. Thank you. Thank you to the fans here in Kitchener for the support you've provided Rangers Reach. We're going to bring bigger and better things are coming your way. In fact, we have one coming in the next game or two. I've had a lot of emails asking, and we're bringing back the mystery puck. So we have autographed pucks that we're going to do. We're selling them. They're mystery pucks, and you're going to have a chance to win a gift card to the store. One of those pucks is going to have a gold sticker in it. And so we'll be putting those out. And we have some great, you know, the alumni were just here, so we've got some alumni signatures, including Hall of Famers. So just one more thing that we're trying to deliver for our fans.
It's impressive stuff. That winning number again, 543-3913. That's the $53,000+ prize. And again, if anybody misses these, rangersreach.com, you can find the winning numbers.
Yeah, you can find the number. Winning numbers are readily accessible at rangers5050.com. Just click winning numbers at the top. Those populate automatically. As soon as I get back to my office downstairs, I'll update our website at rangersreach.com/winners. Those numbers will be posted there and readily available for everyone to see.
All right. You get back to your office and do that. Congratulations on another successful draw here tonight. Craig Campbell, the Executive Director of Rangers Reach, doing our Mega Jackpot draw live on our Rangers Talk post-game show tonight. What a way to finish a 9-5 victory over the Flint Firebirds. And Paul, for our reward, we get to go to Budweiser Gardens tomorrow.
Yeah, we do. I look forward to it. I think it's a great game. Last Friday, we saw a tremendous game between these two. And why would it be any different tomorrow? Mike, the last thing I want to say, like, what an unbelievable night this was. Good win for the Rangers. You and I get to talk to two-time Olympic gold medalist Katrina Lemay-Dome on International Women's Day. And then we send our best to Sean Reagan and his women's team as they go for a championship tomorrow. It's been quite a night.
University of Waterloo Warriors women tomorrow versus the Varsity Blues. They're playing for the Macaw Cup, and then they head out west next week for the U Sports Championship. First time in program history. So go Do they still call them Lady Warriors? I hope so. Anyway, go black, go gold. Sean Regan, the coach, joined us during our second intermission, and what a treat for sure. Katrina LeMay-Doan on our broadcast as well. All right, we're back on the air tomorrow afternoon from Budweiser Gardens. It'll be a 3:30 pregame. Don't miss a second. We'll have the fixes in and more. Rangers Knights. Do you need more than that? On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixter, and our producer, Adam Sanderson, my name is Mike Farwell. I bid you a very good Friday night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers, City News 570.